This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Good morning, and of course, good day, or good afternoon, just as the case may be. Delighted to join together on with Andy for the Arty Farty Show, and you're listening to Otago Access Radio on 105.4 FM, and it's a delight to have you here once again.
Thank you very much.
Round. Always comes round so quickly.
Always, it did come round, didn't it? The hour just speeds past, but we're here. And you've got us for the next hour talking about some jolly fine art subjects and playing some nice music as well. Ron always chooses appropriate music to do with art sometimes. Sometimes it's a bit of a long bow, but, you know, good music is good music.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. And I do have some particular weaknesses with certain kinds of music. The Beatles, because it really is related to people who paint in some ways.
Well, they were all artists, weren't they, the Beatles?
They were, the whole lot of them.
Yeah.
Even the one that died.
Lennon?
No, the one before. The one that was the drummer.
Pete.
That's it.
Pete Best.
Pete was the drummer, that's right.
And how many drummers have they had that's died? Ringo's still with us.
No, there was a bass player.
Oh.
And he used to stand with his facing the wall because he couldn't stand being watched by the crowd.
In the Beatles?
Yeah, yeah. And he was actually, it's been mentioned that John Lennon had a fight with him. And he punched him in the head. And there is speculation that, in fact, he died of a brain hemorrhage as a result
of
that. Yes.
Seriously?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, how come John Lennon wasn't, at least done for assault?
Yeah, it was some time after that he died. So there was, probably you possibly couldn't have linked the two events. But it came out.
Oh, you'd feel terrible, wouldn't you, knowing that there's a good chance that you caused. Were we talking days or weeks?
Stu Sutcliffe was his name.
Stu Sutcliffe. I've heard of Stu Sutcliffe.
And he was a very fine artist. He was the best of them in terms of art. And mind you, the people who have reviewed his work and his career to the age of about 21, which is when he died, they say that he had a great future in art. No one actually said he had a great future with the Beatles.
No. Pursue the original guy. I didn't know that. So this between the punch and the death, was it like days or hours?
No, it wasn't. No. There was quite a.
There was a decent.
Now wondering, how did that happen? And then this, of course, came out.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
it's like Houdini getting a punch in the stomach. They reckon that ruined his
indeed,
because
yes.
he wasn't ready for it, and the old regurgitation of the key wasn't happening.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, so that's a unrelated cause of death, isn't it?
Precisely. Yeah, and so, they never caught anybody for that. Yeah.
Mm. No, that was just a random fan that was kind of playing singers, I think.
I really love your work.
Yeah, boom. Whack. I never get hit because nobody seems to like my work that much.
Yes, it's amazing how anonymity can keep you alive.
Yeah, exactly.
So here we are at the Arty Farty Show, and I wanted to know about, Andy, your wonderful shop.
Yes. Well, we're still going, and we're still doing. We've done a lot of deliveries last The last time we were on air, I mentioned that people were having trouble coming to town, or at least it's the perception. Once you're in town, it's not a problem. It's actually getting into town. And so I said, free delivery. If you can't be bothered coming into town, give us a ring, give us an email, and whatever you want, we'll just have it sent to you. And a lot of people have taken us up on that. And they're really grateful, because how easy is it just to sit on the couch, pick the phone up and say, send all this stuff up. Mm. And people know what they want. You know, there's you get browsers and people that are buying gifts or whatever, but all the artists know exactly what they want.
Yes.
There's no question of is it going to be all right? Am I going to like it? Am I going to get it delivered and I don't really want it? People use the same thing, like yourself. You use the same thing over and over again. You know exactly what you're doing. And so we've been all over town. The places that we can't get to, we employ professional delivery folks. And it's worked out really, really well. So, yeah, that's an ongoing offer, especially while all this roadworks is happening. I think we've got another 12 months of this.
Yes, yes. Now, well, I've got used to it. I head for Milton first and then come into town from there. I found it a lot easier to do it that way.
You'd think so sometimes. And the annoying thing is, and the problem is, nothing can be done about this. It has to be done. But the route from home to work one day, you can't do
quite
it the next
different.
Day.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Right,
they've
yeah.
moved the cones
it's
over.
It's an adventure.
There was one morning, I felt so sorry for this guy. He was one of the workmen, but his job that morning was to tell people that you can't go right into the car park. And you could see people screaming at this guy because, you know, we were doing, you go down Great King Street and you've got to keep going and go wherever because you can't get into the car park. And this poor guy, everyone was yelling at him. And it was before 9 o'clock. I mean, at 5:30, he must have gone home and had his good stiff gin and tonic and thought, oh, God, not doing that again tomorrow. And you do notice that a lot of these guys, the people that are directing traffic, don't do it 2 days in a row.
Yeah.
You think, oh, that's the lady that there,
yeah,
but she's,
yeah, I got a day off. Today.
they're all in the nut house.
I got a week off, and then I'd have another day where I've got to do it.
Anyway, it's coming right, and it's the place is going to look very good. The block outside Farmers, that's all finished, and it looks fantastic.
Yeah, yes,
it's just
does.
The thing. Just hold on tight, folks. It's
artwork.
It's a pain in the neck, but it's going to be really worth it. So,
and actually, you are easy to find. I've found lately you've been great. You just go straight down from Fallul Street.
Fallul Street is straight down. That was that was all upside down for ages. Outside our place, corner of Great King Street and Hanover Street. That's very messy, but they're changing the lights, and that's it's pretty much done now. So you'll be all right.
And you guys, especially you guys up in the North Island, because we are, of course, being broadcast also on one of the North Island stations. So you can all be happy about what's happening up in your way, because we're having to put up with absolute chaos down here.
Yes, absolute chaos, yeah. So other than that, we spoke last time about the pastel matte paper. That's been going very well. It's difficult, you know. I very rarely go home empty-handed from the shop. There's always something new.
What, do you buy something?
Well, it's all paid for anyway. It's all bought. I just whip it off the shelf.
You had a special on easels, though, didn't you? Was it?
Well, we have a special on something every month. Mm. I can't quite remember what it is.
It's easily forgotten.
It's easily forgotten. But we do have a thing. Now, I don't know if I've mentioned this. It's a product called Gallery Glass. We had glass paint. You know, you can paint little stained glass windows or whatever. And it was all right. The water-based one was terrible. I don't know why we stock it. You can barely see. It's such a weak colour. The oil one is okay, but not very bright colours. So we've still got it. We've put it to the side, but we've got a thing called Gallery Glass. And this looks like very strange, milky paint. It looks very weird. But when you put it on glass and it dries, you can't tell it from proper stained glass, from proper coloured glass. It's beautiful. You got the stick-on lid. We just made a little window for ourselves at home. And, yeah, it's beautiful. You stick the lid on, which makes like a little ring or whatever, and then you pour it in, and it makes a puddle of colour. and you hold it, and it's so bright you can't tell it from stained glass. So we're very excited about that. You can make a little window, or you could decorate a drinking glass. And the other thing you can do with this stuff that you can't do with the other stuff, you pour it down, you make whatever, then you peel it up, and now you've got like a rubber stained glass window, which you can put on a window, or you can put on a glass, you can wrap it around. And you couldn't do that. The other stuff really, really stuck hard. So, yeah, whatever design you're making, you can actually peel it up and take it away. Make a light catcher if you want. The other part of the gallery glass is they sell blank pieces of plastic. So there's like triangles and octagons and circles and that. Some are clear and some are textured like proper stained glass. So you paint that and have a light catcher. It's really, really nice stuff.
And what size did you get that in?
In the bottles.
No, or
the biggest one's about the size of a dinner plate. And then
is it round?
You get round ones, like a light catcher.
Right.
And there's octagons and triangles and different.
What's the biggest?
Shapes. Biggest is about 1 foot across.
Right.
So it's about the size of a dinner plate. And you paint your thing, put it on a chain and...
What about square ones? Or rectangular ones?
I think we've got, I think there's all sorts of shapes and all sorts of different textures.
I'm really interested. I'm going to come down and have a look.
Have a look.
It's you're going to say, not again.
Him again.
Through that. Yeah.
So it's just, this is more craft than art. But a lot of people... like to do it, and it was a bit awkward before because the water-based one of the brand that I shall not name because I probably don't want to say anything nasty about it, but it just wasn't very good. It just wasn't a very strong colour. But if you're into glass art or you want to do some painting with a bit of glass art in it, take a look at this called Gallery Glass.
Right.
We'll give you the tour.
Thank you very much. Now that leads us on to the Art Society or the Art Station. And, of course, there's always something going on. Now, I'm urging you out there, if you are not a member of the Otago Art Society, you really ought to be a member of the Otago Art Society because you're rubbing shoulders with people who are just like you. Not quite like you, but, you know, <There's> almost.
I'm in a quiet taste. There's not a lot of me around. And the other thing is, when you go to these exhibitions, you've got... 200 different artists. So if you're looking for a painting, when you go to a normal exhibition, it's just one artist with maybe 10 paintings. If you don't like it, there's nothing to buy. But when you go to the Art Society, to these exhibitions, there's one or two paintings from, a couple of hundred artists.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be something there to take your fancy. This is if you're actually looking to buy art or invest in art.
Yes.
And a lot of the art, by the time you buy a framed poster, if you doubled your budget, you can get an original.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the decor prints from the decor shops. They're quite expensive, and they're a dime a dozen. They're not terribly interesting. You can get some really good original artwork and from a very reasonable price. They're not like these $168 million Rothkos we were talking about.
No, the walls aren't big enough down there.
No. but it is, if you want to if you want to look at something for the decor, that's the place to go.
Brilliant advice. And further advice is the shop. The shop at the Otago Art Society is a little grotto full of all sorts of wonderful gift possibilities. And not only are you buying something that will make someone else happy or yourself happy, but it will be one of a kind. You're buying an artwork which is not to be repeated. So you're not going to have, for instance, for someone's wedding, let's just use that as an example, there's not going to be another one in the gifts.
And I noticed they're doing a lot of, some jewellery at the moment, and little sculptures as well. So it's not just painted. The jewellery is really, really nice.
It's a wonderful little shop. You really must, if you don't go anywhere else, you'd still be very happy that you went to the Otago Art Society shop. But if you're going to be there, you might as well go through and see Andy's painting and my painting.
See my painting first. If you've got money to spend it on mine. we'll put Ron's right at the back of the gallery.
That's right. I'm I'm not going away into that dark area.
Actually, yeah, it just reminding myself of talking about being stuck at the end of the gallery. I put a painting in years ago, and there were so many paintings. They took all the paintings down from the corridor, which is the permanent collection, and continued the exhibition. And you walk in the front door, and you start looking at the paintings. You go around. The last painting that you could possibly see was mine. It was the very, by the time you're absolutely sick to death of looking at paintings, mine was the very last one. You look at it and then go home. Because I was looking, I thought, where is it? I know it's here. I know it's got to be here somewhere. The very last one.
And you couldn't go out that way. I think you had to go out through the shop, didn't you?
I think it was like that.
Yes. So the, you know, people, I can't find my way out, and I keep getting confronted with that thing down the end.
Yeah, well, you buy it and we'll unlock the doors for you. Can't say fairer than that.
Very happy to see the back here. Anyway, that's the arts station, and well worth being a member, I can tell you, because they have an absolute range of activities, and you can learn to paint. You can talk painting with similarly minded people to yourself, and it's well worth it, even if you don't paint, actually.
Well, you just enjoy everybody else's painting. This is what people say in the shop. They say, oh, I'm useless at painting. I can't paint. I've never been able to paint. Mm-hmm. I said, well, just enjoy other people's paintings.
Yeah, and buy me some stuff.
You buy some stuff while you're here.
Yeah, so yeah, that's that. Now, the Dominion Public Art Gallery, going from strength to strength, what a great idea it was for them to go from the Caledonian Ground miles away. Well, it was the Caledonian Ground in those days. Oh, no, I think it is.
That was up at Logan Park, wasn't it?
Yes, that's right. And the art gallery, oh, it was a musty old place, honestly.
And it was a long way away. It's not, you see, the where they are now, if you're out and about, you could just drop in. If you've got 10 minutes to spare, you may as well go in. But you wouldn't pop into the other one. How long have they been in the Octagon now?
Well, I can tell you that almost to the day. Pretty good, eh?
Pretty good.
Ron's
a lot older than I am.
1998.
Oh, seriously?
Yes.
Ah.
Yeah. And the reason was I was at the opening because it was a very fun time, actually. And I was on the city council at the time, so you had to be there.
Oh, right, yeah. You had to be. 1998, wow. Mm. That's a long, that's
well,
a long
I time. Well, I didn't think I'd live this long. But there you are, I'm still here. Much to everyone's chagrin. Well, anyway, Andy, we've done the Public Art Gallery, and what else? I always mention Watercolour New Zealand because it's such, you know, it's in Wellington, and it's worth being a member of that as well because it's kudos. If you're an artist and you've got your work, I did some articles for them about painting. You know, not only you're learning, you can be teaching as well. I think we need some music, my boy. Let's see what we've got on the record player.
Yeah. rain and fall. What did they know? When I saw your face, heard the sound that you were singing, though I thought I knew the words, the tune was quite absurd and out of key. Ooh-da-da-dee.
Well, what about that? That was the Electric Light Orchestra, my dear friend Jeff Lynn, who doesn't know me from a bar of soap. But I know everything about Jeff Lynn. He is an amazing composer, and he's an artist. And honestly, I think he is a, what do you call it, a Renaissance man.
Well, if he was dead, he'd be a decomposing composer.
Well, that's right. Like Beethoven.
Exactly.
Roll over, Beethoven. No chance. Yeah, well, good point. Having said that, our next subject is an artist, and she is no longer with us. And my word, did she have a life. And she was actually the wife of Diego Rivera from... of Mexican fame, who was an artist. And, well, I've let the cat out of the bag, of course. All you people who know about Frida Kahlo.
Frida Kahlo, played by Selma Hayek in the movie, and Diego Rivera was played by Alfred Molina, if I...
I see. What a Mexican name that man had.
Alfred Molina, yeah. Oh, no, Diego Rivera. Yeah, that's definitely foreign.
Yes.
She had a hell of a life. She was born in July the 6th, 1907, in the house of her parents, known as La Casa Azul. Frida always claimed to be born in 1910, the year of the outbreak of the Mexican Revolution, so that people would directly associate her with the modern Mexico. This detail well introduces us to the singular personality characterized since her childhood by a deep sense of independence and rebellion against ordinary social and moral habits. Moved by passion and sensuality, proud of her Mexican dad and cultural tradition, set against the reigning Americanization, everything mixed with a peculiar sense of humor. Now, her life was marked by a physical suffering, started with the polio contracted at the age of 5 and worsened by her life-dominating event, which occurred in 1925. A bus accident caused severe injuries to her body owing to a pole that pierced her from her stomach to the pelvis. I don't know how she even survived that. It's just horrendous. The medicine of the time tortured her body with surgical operations. 32 operations she had during her life. Corsets of different kinds and mechanical stretching system. Now, lots of her work were painted lying in her bed, drawing on personal experiences, her miscarriages and her numerous operations. Carlo's works are often characterized by portrayals of pain. Of her 143 paintings, 55 are self-portraits, which often incorporate symbolic portrayals of physical and psychological wounds. As a young artist, Carlo approached the famous Mexican painter Diego Rivera, who recognized her talent and her unique expression as truly special and uniquely Mexican. He encouraged her development as an artist and soon began to intimate relationship with Frida. They were married in 1929, despite the disapproval of Frida's mother. Divorced and then remarried again in 1940. The union was not a usual one. Diego's several affairs, included one with Frida Kahlo's sister, Christina, upset her. In response to this betrayal from her family, Kahlo shaved off the majority of her signature long dark hair. On the other hand, she had also a lot of lovers, men and women, such as Leon Trotsky and Andre Breton's wife. She was desperate to have a child and was heartbroken when she experienced a second miscarriage in 1934. Indeed, she had several miscarriages and at least three therapeutic abortions throughout her life. In 1930, Frida and Diego lived in San Francisco in California. They then moved to New York City, and Rivera's artwork show at the Museum of Modern Art. They also lived in Detroit while Diego Rivera worked for the Detroit Institute of Arts. In 1933, the couple had to move back to Mexico when Rivera tried to include the communist leader Vladimir Lenin in a mural commissioned by Nelson Rockefeller at the Rockefeller Center. In 1938, Frida Kahlo became a friend of Andre Breton, one of the major figures with her difficulties. Her work grew in popularity and she was featured in a number of group shows at this time. Kahlo had her first exhibition in Mexico in 1953. She attended the inauguration of the show despite being bedridden at the time. Kahlo arrived by ambulance and spent the evening in a four-poster bed built up in the gallery exclusively for her, talking and rejoicing with the event's participants. What a tragic life. I don't know, it doesn't actually say... Oh, no, it does actually. I know, it's just a little... Just the last little note here, of course, her death. A few days before her death, on July 13th, 1954, Frida Kahlo wrote in her diary, she said, "I hope the exit is joyful and I hope never to return." I'm not surprised because she didn't have a good time on this earth.
No, she did not.
The official cause of death was given as pulmonary embolism, although some suspect that she died from an overdose that may or may not have been accidental. So possible suicide. But I remember her saying that, "I hope never to return."
Yes.
So 54.
What an epitaph.
54, she would have been 47.
Yes.
47 when she died.
Well, she was encased at one stage or another. She used to spend a lot of time just lying in bed because of the chronic pain that she was in from her injuries. And I think she was encased in some sort of exoskeleton, you know, that held her in a particular position. And she actually painted herself in that.
Didn't she have a mirror above her bed, and she could look at herself lying on her back,
yes,
painting herself. So if she hadn't have had this accident, she probably wouldn't have got into painting. Because it was like the only thing she could do. So she was.
Well, I hear what you're saying. It's quite likely. Of course, being married to Diego Rivera, it certainly would have led her to painting, her husband was there.
But she only met him because she was a painter.
Ah, right.
Okay. You know, he spotted her.
Ah,
because,
right.
So if she hadn't painted, they would have had no reason to meet.
Right.
It's just a strange, horrible twist of fate that her tragic accident actually gave us the world a new fantastic artist.
And I think, too, that the circumstances of her life and her death actually have made her some kind of an icon.
Mm.
And the paintings today are very, very popular.
Yeah.
Considering
a lot of them are portraits, you don't... She had a very recognisable look, a very unusual look.
She did. She had her eyebrows met in the middle.
Yeah, the monobrow, which she never did anything about. That was like, that's who I am. That's what I get.
That was probably all that was left after the accident. that's cruel, Ron. Don't say that. Yeah.
At least I've got my eyebrows. I've got nothing else. I've got eyebrows. But if she looked... kind of normal, like that was an outstanding feature of her recognizableness. If she just looked normal, people would think, well, it's just a face. It doesn't mean anything.
And the paintings are iconic, aren't they? Everybody knows.
Yep.
Who painted that?
Yeah.
So there you are. And just speaking of that, I think we're going to have a bit of music. And then we're going to look at where art is going in from 2023 onwards. And just spare a thought for that. We'll come back after this bit of music, and we're going to look at art trends to watch from this year onwards. So, what is this? I've no idea.
If a picture paints a thousand words, then why can't I paint you? The words will never show the you I've come. If a face could launch a thousand ships, then where am I to go? There's no one home but you. You're all that's left me to. And when my love for life is running dry, beside you all the way. If the world should stop with all things spinning slowly down to die, I'd spend the end with you. And when the world was through, then one by one the stars would all go out, then you and I would simply fly away.
Oh, if a picture paints a thousand.
Think of painting. Yeah, the art show.
Yes, if it paints a thousand words, what are you going to do? A lot of reading. Got a lot of reading there, mate. So, yes, that's bread. Do you remember that? It's amazing, and it's so beautiful. They were lovely.
Bread, I can't actually think of a bread song, but
well, bread is the bread of life.
I usually play on my other radio show. I play a lot of bread, and every week, and I can't think of one bread song. But there's a lot. There are songs where you think, "Oh, is that bread? I know that song."
Yes.
Famous song in the world, and you think, "I didn't actually associate it with them."
Well done.
They are very, very cool.
Very beautiful. I did let you know that we were going to talk about art trends to watch in 2023, and this is very interesting. And they've even talked about what is happening right now, and then perhaps we can talk about predicting the future. Andy, can you do that? You got a crystal ball?
I don't know how you could. I've never understood how trends begin. You know, when something is not trendy and then it is, at what point was it introduced? Who introduced it? Who decides? It's like fashion, isn't it? Anything. Suddenly, everyone's got to have. It was like when Princess Di wore the blue eyeshadow.
Yes.
The sales went through the roof, and you understand how that became a trend. But trends in artwork, I don't know who begins it, who dictates it.
Well, it's the public in general, obviously, that does. And what happens is they get bored. They get bored with what's there, and they say, I want something new. And this is why we have art trends to watch in 2023, and I've watched this happening. Calming pastels.
Oh.
Now, how much have you seen? Are you selling more pastels than
well,
you used to?
Yeah. Well, with this pastel map, but no, that is a trend. I've noticed people are, maybe it's the word is calming. You know, things are quite stressful in the world. People don't want dramatic. Maybe they want some
You're
peace.
Right.
Some peace.
So, as in the war, you'd sing happy, happy songs. You know,
exactly.
Because there was so much misery going on in the background.
That actually makes sense.
So, art fans will be seeing a lot of neutrals this year, as a relaxing shade selection of pastels continues to gain popularity. Pastels can be calming to the viewer, giving many art pieces in 2023 an aura and theme of peace and serenity. Kalman Shemi, oddly enough, it's almost sounds like calming. Kalman is the name of the artist, has developed a medium of soft painting that speaks to the relationship between the individual and the natural environment. Shemi has developed three unique painting techniques utilizing this soft technique, and a colour palette, soft painting, lacquer painting, and window painting. So there we are. That's one of the trends, and that's just an example of that pastel look. And now what else? What else is coming along? Well, textured artwork. So you're getting something with almost like a grain. I think my dad actually, he must have been ahead of it, because he used... I see Tom Esplin is buttering another canvas.
He did a lot of palette knife. Palette knife.
Yeah,
work,
that's
yeah.
right. And it had a texture.
Yeah.
And I think that's what people liked. Mm. Possibly a symptom of the ever-growing virtual art movement. The trends in 2023 predict a rise in textured artworks. Impasto is the form of painting, and it's used to create a texture within the work. And it involves layering and mixing thick paint with a visible brush and palette knife strokes. After it dries, the technique gives the artwork a new sense of energy and dimension. There's something about textured artwork that satisfies an innate sense of touch and curiosity. That's right. Oh, leave that alone, won't you? Yeah, it's not dry yet.
But that's the... not true. But that is the other thing as well, isn't it? You don't... You know, with a watercolour, there's no feel to it. But if you can look at it and touch it, then...
It's another dimension.
Another dimension. You've got something else to... another way to enjoy it.
Exactly. That's right, Andy. And it's interesting that we can reflect what these trends are or may be happening in what Andy's doing in his shop. He starts to sell things that he didn't sell before. There's virtual art. Now, this is interesting, and we spoke about that in another program about the NFTs. Well, you'll be pleased to know Speaking of virtual art, it appears, although it has been here in 2023, there'll be more virtual art, but pieces such as NFTs or digital art tools, although they will continue to raise interesting questions about art and artists, the technology behind virtual art has new capabilities of raising the differences between the creator, the viewer, and the artwork itself. For example, take one prodigy in the field of 3D art, Gal Yosef, that's G-A-L-Y-O-S-E-F, beginning to work with a design at just 12 years old. Yosef's work focuses exclusively on digital design, and he utilizes computer technology in his creative process. So that's the virtual art that doesn't involve picking up a pen or a paintbrush. Other trends, large-scale abstracts, big is best. Similar to the instinctual draw of textured works, large-scale works have the ability to instantly capture an audience's attention. Take Rothko, for instance. No, I don't. I jest. But they demand appreciation because they're so gigantic. Abstract art is an art style that is subjective and non-representational. It involves artists painting intuitively using shape, colour, form and line work in modern freedom of expression. This trend will showcase a wide range of different artistic styles. For example, note the difference in tone and colour between artist Angela Roskell's nature-inspired abstracts and artist Martin Breeze's bold and melodic abstracts. Are you getting a situation where you're selling big canvases?
To certain people, there's, you know, because they're really expensive. But I've got two or three artists that only paint, at least a metre and a half square.
Yeah,
and that's their big thing. And I said to one guy, like, who's buying these things? And he said, I've got a small core of people that buy it.
Yeah.
He doesn't just put it out there and say, anyone want to buy it? He paints for these guys.
Right.
Which is awkward, isn't it? Because if you've got... It's like me. If I only had, like, 10 customers and one died, that's 10% of your audience.
And you've only got six walls.
but no, they do. They paint really big ones and not terribly detailed. It's got to be abstract. Because if you're doing something like 2 meters square and you're putting in every little leaf on the tree, you'll be there, you'll be there for a year. So these things are big and abstract. And it'd be very striking. And, of course, there's a lot of corporate businesses, you know, the big foyer and the boardroom and that sort of that sort of thing.
The Calming Pastels leads us towards a minimalist colour palette. Along with pastels, artworks with minimalist colour palettes are trending. And so the earthy toned palettes are gaining popularity in 2023 as they imitate the calmness and serenity we feel or would like to feel when experiencing nature or the outside world. Since bright maximalist colour palettes can be visually overwhelming to some people, artists are taking a less is more approach to styling in 2023. Apart from being visually beautiful, minimalist pieces are also generally easier to style, as they don't include a multitude of colours competing for the viewer's attention.
That's an interesting idea. I looked at this guy ages ago, actually, and all he used was sap green and burnt sienna. And he did landscape. He didn't use anything else. And I painted a picture just using that, and it worked. You didn't look and think, well, there's no colour in that. It was actually quite believable. You wouldn't believe that there's only two colours in it. And that's all he ever did. And all of his artwork, even the skies, you know, a blue sky, he had to represent a blue sky with sap green and burnt sienna. And he did it very well.
And what's surprising what people swallow in terms of a sky. You can just put anything
absolutely
in there.
Absolutely anything. Yeah, skies. Yeah. Whenever you're painting a sky, do not paint blue sky and fluffy white clouds. It's as boring as anything. Even the photos that I've taken, like, look out of the window now. Blue sky and white puffy clouds. It's the
boring
way it is, but it's boring. You're not making a record of it. You're doing so visually interesting, a representation
exactly
of that. And it was interesting because all of this guy's skies were muddy clouds, very very pale green. You know, let some of the canvas come through, and you believed it's a moody day
Exactly. And it changes the whole aspect of the thing.
Yeah.
I do remember I did one of Arbroath in Scotland, and I looked at it and I thought, God, this is boring. And so I changed it into a stormy, stormy scene. I changed it early enough that I could bring about this transformation. And we've got this amazing sky coming rolling forward, all quite black.
Yeah.
And then all the trees are bending over in the wind, and there's a guy trying to fight his way along the dock in yellow sou'wester and so on. And the water's coming up over the top, and it was nothing like what the scene was.
No.
People, they say, oh, look at that sky, and they like it.
Yeah.
So the other trend that's quite interesting is one that's been happening in Dunedin, and that is street art. And it's a bit of a mystery to me because there are a lot of people, these are world travellers. And these
The big murals?
Yes.
Oh, right, yeah.
And these people get a name for themselves. And they usually use a pseudonym, and that's what they sign when they paint those murals. And they're enormous. I don't know how they do them because they're huge. But they're a much more accessible form of art because it's been rapidly growing as an art form, and they're embraced by city councils.
Yeah.
They're saying, here is our personality.
Yeah.
And they'll continue to do so.
And do you remember it was a good few years ago, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, all of these artists and murals seemed to pop up overnight.
Yeah.
You know, within a couple of weeks, because they got everyone over. There was a Dutch guy. There was a guy called Flem.
Yes.
Remember Flem? He did one. And as a guy I used to work with, he did a big one. But I thought, do that times 10 and the whole town will be covered in artwork. Especially like in the industrial buildings over the railway track. It's not terribly beautiful. There's no foot traffic, but there's some really nice murals over there. And it would be really nice if, you know, just any time you see a blank wall, get one of these beautiful murals. Around by Bond Street, there's a kid sitting on a bench and a little girl giving him a peck on the cheek with a balloon.
Yes.
That, do that everywhere, and wow, that would be a really interesting
and beats the heck out of Kilroy was here.
If you notice that, they don't get defaced. No one's ever put rotten, horrible graffiti on a mural. They will on a blank wall.
Yes.
But they don't do it on
a mural. Or where someone else's graffiti.
Yeah.
Yes.
Have you ever been to the alley in Melbourne? The graffiti alley?
No, I haven't.
It's it's an alley, and I think you're allowed to do whatever. There's graffiti on top of graffiti on top of, and you can go in there. I'd go in there and I'd spray something on the wall.
Right.
I think it leads to a pub or a nightclub or something, but it's a big part of the Melbourne tourist thing. You've got to go to the alley and see all this stuff.
Well, in Dunedin, we've got people who do street art tours and take them around all the paintings that we've got on display. So it is certainly a unique art form. And it's everywhere in the urban areas and public locations, such as the exterior walls of buildings, bridges, highways, trains. Remember, they used to paint the trains, but that was graffiti. And I could never work out why you would say, "Oh, I'm going to do something that's against the law." And I'm going to put my name up here on here. And they say, hello, because that's Brian James again.
Yeah, but they put, there's one, Kev, K-E-V. Kev is written everywhere. I don't know who Kev is. But if you look at them, you think, how the hell did you get up there? They even graffitied some of the letters on the Mosgiel sign. Now, that's taking your life into
isn't
your
hands.
Isn't
it just?
But some of the buildings in George Street, you actually have to get on top of the building.
To do it,
It was interesting. I got burgled in 2016. Someone broke in, nicked all my blue spray paint, and they didn't know who it was. And someone rang up the council or the police or whatever and said, look, there's a load of graffiti. And it was all blue. They've written all blue stuff. So they got the can, they got the fingerprints. This guy was on record, and they went round and knocked on his door. And they got him, and he was the guy that came through the roof of my shop.
Oh, seriously.
He abseiled through the roof, crashed through the back door, nicked all the blue spray paint. And yeah, and they got him based on the fingerprints they took from my shop and the fingerprints on this can. If he'd only tidied up after himself, they wouldn't have got him.
What a story. Lovely story. So just ending our broadcast today, I'll finish the street art thing that they were saying. Often they are unique art. They will often convey social, political messages. Personal messages remarkably change the appearance of many neighbourhoods and cities around the world. Even in Hawaii, they've got a fantastic whale on one of the buildings. It transforms what is a faceless piece of building into something really exciting and interesting. World-renowned street artists such as Alec Monopoly and Eduardo Cobra create pieces that fill cities with colour and change viewers' perspectives on both society and art itself. Well, Andy, another arty-farty show comes to a sort of a screeching end.
We covered quite a lot of ground, actually.
We did.
This show's amazing what you can get through in an hour.
And I want to thank the listeners for taking the time to listen to us babbling away. And we do have, I think, some interesting things. These are fascinating subjects. And there'll be more. This is not the end.
It is not the end.
This is the beginning.
It will continue.
Yeah, and I think we'll have a bit of music. What do we have? Oh, I think we'll try this one and see what happens, eh? Right, here we go. And thank you all. You've been listening to The Arty Farty Show on 105.4 FM. And thank you for doing so. Goodbye and good luck.
There I was in uniform, looking at the art teacher. I was just a girl then. Never have I loved since then. He was not that much older than I was. He had taken our class to the Metropolitan Museum. He asked us what our favorite work of art was. Never could I tell him it was him. Oh, I wish I could tell him. Oh, I wish I could have told. Thank you.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.